History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. As we approach America's 250th anniversary, now might be the time to go back and learn how we got here. With more than 200 episodes, you can binge your way, decade by decade, defining event to defining event, from the founding into the 20th century. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Chiefs football.
Touchdown, Kansas City!
And your home for Royals baseball.
Fastball hit high in the air, deep left field, way gone into the bleachers. A two-run homer for Bobby Witt Jr.
Watch The Drive by subscribing on our YouTube channel or listen on demand with the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This show is always going to stand on principles. Dippin' Dots are incredible. Red Lobster is the best restaurant that America has to offer, and baked beans are trash.
You're listening to Kansas City's FM Sports Station, 96.5 The Fan. Here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Really excited to be here with you guys on this wonderful, wonderful Thursday. We basically have a half of show to get after it today. We got a lot to get into, even in the abridged version of the show. Every team in the NFL was thrown out for a potential breakout player. We'll tell you who that was for the Kansas City Chiefs. They have now moved on to the top 10 defensive tackles in the National Football League, also on ESPN. We'll let you know where Chris Jones potentially lands on that list. So there's a new rule in college football. You will have 5 years to be eligible. That means Avery Johnson, if he wants to, can play one more season at K-State and then play another season at Kansas State. He was asked if that is something that he is considering. We'll play that for you as well. We got a little bit of World Cup. We continue what is my favorite soap opera right now in the world of sports, which is LeBron James and what team he could potentially play for. Speaking of soap operas, we usually wouldn't lead the show this way, but starting the show at 3:47, it's a little bit different than what it usually is. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this today, so this is where we usually would slot it into the show. We might as well just do it now off the top. Rob, did you know that a group of lawmakers wrote a letter to the WNBA commissioner? Did you know that? Yes. There were 11 politicians that wrote a letter to the commissioner of the WNBA, and they were demanding that the league take accountability for multiple attacks against Caitlin Clark. It also went on to say that she is the face of the league. She has generated incredible fan interest, TV ratings, corporate sponsors, and she continues to be, their words, not mine, on the receiving end of unnecessary physical hostility and violence, such as hip checking, eye poking, and recently the incident with Alyssa Thomas. It also goes on to say that these attacks against Caitlin Clark may be racially motivated. And if they continue, that these lawmakers are going to seek an appropriate investigation by the Department of Justice, the Department of Labor, and the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. And if this is true, that these attacks are racially motivated against Caitlin Clark, then they would constitute a violation of federal civil rights laws. This feels like a really good first question to ask on the show today. Are we okay? Why do we discuss Caitlin Clark in this way? In a way in which we don't discuss any other player in American sports. Now, do I think that race plays a factor in the conversation about Caitlin Clark? Absolutely. On both sides of the aisle, on both sides of the coin when it comes to Caitlin Clark. But what really frustrates me about her and what makes her very different to me than any other American athlete that we discuss is we've never evolved past that with Caitlin Clark. From the moment that Caitlin Clark, I would say, was introduced to the public and the back and forth with Angel Reese, every conversation that we have about Caitlin Clark makes her more of a cause than an athlete. And that flies in the face of who I think Caitlin Clark wants to be. I think Caitlin Clark is a lot of good things. I think she is a lot of great things. She is one of the most exciting athletes that we have, regardless of color, regardless of gender. She's a lot of fun to watch in all of this. But I think her actions have made it very clear she is not interested in participating in these conversations, nor does she want to be viewed through that lens. She just wants to be a basketball player. Now, I'm not saying that she should be more involved in these things or she shouldn't be. That is her decision as a person. But I think it is pretty clear now in the 5 years in which Caitlin Clark has been in our lives, 2 years at Iowa, because people didn't really start picking it up until she was a junior. This is now her third year in the NBA. We've never talked about Caitlin Clark the way that we just talk about a basketball player. At some point with basketball players, or most players, it just shifts towards their game. We don't even have to talk about it in basketball. This is kind of how it started with Tiger Woods. The fact that somebody that looks like Tiger Woods was dominated in a sport where no one looks like Tiger Woods was a really big deal. But eventually, our conversation started to shift from, hey, this black guy is playing golf. It eventually shifted to, maybe he's the greatest golfer that we've ever seen. What does he need to do to catch Jack Nicklaus? And we started looking at it through that prism. We've never evolved in the way that we view Caitlin Clark. We've never evolved in the way that we discuss Caitlin Clark. I think this is on everybody. I don't think this is just the politician's fault. I don't just think this is the players in the WNBA's fault, nor the fans, nor the media. We all participated in this. This had a chance to be a really good, really fun story. One of the more unsuspecting stories in sports that I can remember. You could argue that Caitlin Clark is the most popular American-born basketball player. There has never been a time in basketball history in which you could make that argument about a female basketball player. You couldn't make that argument about Cheryl Miller. You couldn't make that argument about Lisa Leslie or Rebecca Lobo or Diana Taurasi or Sue Bird. You've never been able to argue that the most popular American-born player was a woman. I think that's the case now. She's more popular than Jason Tatum is. She's more popular than LaMelo Ball or Anthony Edwards or any other player that you can name. Why have we done this with Caitlin Clark? Why? For a country that loves to say that we look past these things and how evolved we are, Caitlin Clark is an example that we still got a long way to go in these conversations. This is nonsense to me. And it will continue to go with what I was saying about Caitlin Clark last week. I don't know why we advise everybody else to stand up for Caitlin Clark, and we are not giving her the message of she needs to do a better job of standing up for herself. Because you know what doesn't help Caitlin Clark's cause in any way? Is 11 politicians coming together and saying that if you don't start being nicer to Caitlin Clark, we're going to seek the Department of Justice about you. That's one of the reasons why they don't like her. You wouldn't do this for a male athlete. You wouldn't do this to Victor Wembanyama. You wouldn't do this to Jalen Brunson. It just frustrates me that at this point, we have let Caitlin Clark be used as a vehicle for people's beliefs, more so than just talking about her like a basketball player. Whether you think that her game can translate, whether you think that she's good enough to help win a WNBA championship, we don't discuss Caitlin Clark in that way. Every conversation is she is being slighted in some way and that the other girls in the WNBA should be so happy that she decided to play with them that they should just bow at the altar of her. Every conversation. This is our fault. We did this. This had a chance to be really, really good. It's not. I don't know if we can evolve past this point when it comes to Caitlin Clark. We haven't in the 5 years that she's been in our lives. I don't know what would really happen to make us wake up tomorrow and be like, you know what? Maybe we should start treating her the way that we treat Joe Burrow or the way that we treat Josh Allen or the way that we treat Scottie Scheffler. I don't know if we can get to that point with Caitlin Clark. It feels like we are way too far down the line. All right, we'll reset things coming up at the top of the hour. We'll get back to local. Local businesses are still complaining about the World Cup. It's almost over. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
You're listening to The Drive with prominent Mizzou fan Carrington Harrison.
I support Kansas. I want Kansas to win.
On 96.5, The Fan.
All right, let's reset things. My name is Carrington Harrison. Happy to be here. Rob is here as well, taking you up until 6 o'clock. All right. This should go without saying, but I feel like it's a really important way to kick off the show. I am for all small businesses. I want to see everybody win. Why would I not want to see people win? It goes without saying, but I'm a little frustrated at the news that we continue to sell these stories to the public because we know that this is red meat to the public. This is irresponsible in my mind to continue to keep sharing these stories. There was one that came across my timeline. I saw Bob Fesco talking about it. I planned on talking about it. This came from KSHB 41 News. This is a bar owner in Platte City, Missouri, complaining about not seeing a boost from the World Cup. Here's the story.
After years of preparing for one of the world's biggest sporting events, the World Cup has filled Kansas City Stadium, Fan Fest, and bars across KC. But north of the river, it's been a different story.
We thought maybe we'd get a little bit just based on proximity to the airport.
As the Northland reporter, I spent months talking to business owners preparing for this event. For Laura Lowry, owner of Barley and Vine in downtown Platte City, that meant bringing down extra TVs, creating World Cup themed drink specials, and even extending business hours.
It's fun on a USA game, but other than that, the TVs are on and no one's watching them.
Lowry says she believes location has played a big role, being 30 minutes away from where the World Cup activities are taking place.
The people who are coming to Kansas City, they're coming to watch the game and to be a part of these World Cup events. So us being 30 minutes removed from that definitely takes away our opportunity to participate in anything like that.
Yo, what are we doing? I hate to begin the show this way. I have so many questions. I don't have anything against this woman and her business. I've never heard of it. I've never been there before. I'm happy to stop in. Rob, it's 30 minutes away from the action. Do we think in New Orleans, when it's Mardi Gras, we're interviewing restaurants 30 minutes outside of Bourbon Street, asking them why they're not seeing a big boost in tourism from the event? What are we doing here? Why are we talking to this person? She thought she was going to see a boom for the France-Morocco game 30 minutes away? From who? Who is driving to Platte City to watch these other games? Yes, for the U.S. game, sure. I'm sure you get your locals that don't want to drive into town and decide to stay out there. If you're in town for the World Cup, why in the world would you be driving 30 minutes outside of town to go watch the game on television at a Northland Platte City area sports bar? Is this what it's going to be every time that we get something really cool in town? Is this what it's going to be like for the Super Bowl? I'm serious. Is this what it's going to be like? Somebody in Independence, Missouri is going to be interviewed by the news because they didn't see a huge boost in their business, now knowing that it's going to be 40 minutes away from the stadium. Why are we doing this? Why are we selling these stories? Who is the intended audience for these stories? Who wants these stories? At this point, I think everybody would agree with these two statements. Visit KC or whomever overestimated the amount of visitors that were coming into Kansas City for these soccer games. Whatever the number was, 650,000, whatever the number was, you should have known a year ago it was BS. We all knew that. If you were watching the news or paying attention, you knew that that number was not correct. So if you were operating your business like you were going to get that level of foot traffic, you made a terrible mistake. I also think it is going to be very difficult to sell it to me as somebody who's been to P&L, who's somebody who's been to FanFest, as somebody who has been to a World Cup game. It's going to be very difficult for you to sell me in 2 weeks when this is over that this was a negative. I'm sorry, you can't sell it to me. I've seen it. To quote Jay-Z, you can't sell me BS. I know the prices. We just got to start understanding that the tourists have made a decision. So when we get more touristy things, maybe you'll get a political convention. I believe we're going to get the World Cup or not the Super Bowl one day. I believe we'll get a major wrestling pay-per-view. I'm sorry, but your Olathe sports bar is not getting a boost because WrestleMania is here. What are you doing? Why do we think that? I'm tired of the news continuing to sell these stories. We got one more game on Saturday. It should be fantastic. Lionel Messi could be playing in his last World Cup game or continuing to advance to get his second consecutive World Cup. He might win the Golden Boot. It's going to be sold out. It's going to be lovely. It's going to be beautiful. There's only two cities in the United States that got more World Cup games than Kansas City. But we got to quit packaging this same story about this French coffee shop down in the crossroads has not seen a boost from the World Cup. It's intellectually dishonest. What do you think, Rob?
I mean, everything you're saying is spot on. And also, I don't mean this as any disrespect to the business owner. Did they really think that having specialty cocktails and extra TVs was going to bring people in? Like, I think their location is the killer. But I think one thing I'm learning about the World Cup is, if you were willing to be around the stuff and cater to World Cup fans, you probably got World Cup fans. Like, I've been to bars down in Crossroads. I've been to bars in the plaza. The places that have signage up and flags and all this stuff to indicate, hey, it's World Cup Central, those places are experiencing a boom. But if you're in Platte City and you're telling me I got specialty cocktails, no one who's staying in, you know, Riverside or up by the Berkeley front where Argentina is staying is driving to Platte City for a specialty cocktail and an extra TV. You got to do a little bit more. You got to be a little bit more proactive. So it's not just be where the tourists are. If you're going to be there, that's great. But if you're not going to be there, you have to give them a reason to come out to your business. And we're seeing things like Kick It in KC was not a good enough thing to have people come out to be part of, leaving the fun area. I hope this one's business does great with Platte City residents, but no one was going to leave downtown ahead of the Netherlands match after the Orange March to go get a specialty orange cocktail before their matchup with Tunisia. That wasn't happening. And if it was, you didn't let these people know it was even an option.
The text line corrected me. This company, the one that we're talking about, it's called Barley and Vine. Now go support Barley and Vine. I'm happy to go out there. I'm happy to meet this woman, shake her hand, and hey, sometimes the game's the game. You decided to talk to the news, you became content. I'm sorry. Rob, this is a wine bar that offers a wide selection of craft beers, whiskeys, and wine memberships in Platte City. You couldn't have thought that you were going to get some massive boost from the World Cup. What's happening here? Come on now.
If anything, that bar should have done a really good job of pandering more to their regulars. Hey, we're not going to get a boom, so let's make sure our regulars show up. That actually sounds like a fun bar. I like wine. I like, you know, craft beer, especially cocktails. That place would be for me if I lived in Platte City. You should be making sure if a Platte City resident likes that place, they should be coming in more, not trying to entice some random Dutch fan who lives in the Riverside for a month. No, pander to your locals.
Text line 913-586-7965. CDOT, two things can be true. This has been a net positive for the city, but also folks bought into the hype by the mayor, Visit KC, and KC 2026 and all other officials, and it didn't live up to their expectations. I said that. I agree with you. I guess I'm saying is there became a point long before the visitors got here that their estimates were wrong. It did not just catch up with you in the middle of June that they lied to us. I've been saying that on this show for months. I've been saying, hey, the math ain't mathing. If you've been paying attention to this, the flights are not adding up. The hotel rooms are not staying. All you had to do was watch the news. Hey, FIFA just canceled a block of hotel rooms. Hey, the flights, this is like a normal summer in Kansas City. We've been talking about it on this show for weeks now. If you don't live downtown, you are not affected by the World Cup at any point. You haven't been. There's only a handful of bars that are doing the 24-7, 23-6 rule. Like, what are we doing here? So, yes, I 100% agree with you. This has been an overwhelming net positive. But if you thought that your Independence bar was going to see a big boost from the World Cup, that was a great thing to think in 2024. If you were thinking that in March of 2026, I'm sorry, that's a you problem then at that point. You just weren't paying attention. You just weren't keeping up. I'm sorry, you just weren't keeping up. Or you just didn't want to believe it. All the information was right there. At some point, that's a you problem. You're a business and you made a bad business decision. That's life. I don't have to tell you. That's life. The tourists have decided where they want to go. So we now have this information. We're going to get a Super Bowl. It's going to be great. Now, it's going to be a little bit different because it's going to be in Kansas, and we don't know where people are going to populate. But I'm guessing that the tourists, if they're going to travel, they're going to travel to downtown Kansas City. They're going to travel to Power and Light. I'm just going to go out on a limb and guess that's where the stuff's going to be. Some of the stuff's going to be in Wyandotte County. Some of the stuff's going to be close to the stadium. But I've been to the Super Bowl 3 separate times. I've been to Radio Row. I kind of know. I'm a tourist. All the touristy stuff, that's where the tourists are going. So I'm tired of these stories. They make me angry. They make me upset. I just don't see the purpose for them. I don't know who they serve. It just gives people an ability. It just gives people an ability to throw shade on the World Cup. And I just think it's unnecessary. It's been great. It's been phenomenal. It's been fantastic. It's amazing. Hopefully you've enjoyed it while it's here. Someone on the text line says, talk American football. You know what? I'm happy to do that. We'll do that next. Keep it right here, SDrive.
The Drive is always streaming live on our YouTube channel.
If you're a bad tipper, that's okay. You're all right. I'm not here to judge you for that.
Just search for 965 The Fan.
How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, somebody on the text line said, talk American football. I'm more than happy to do that. Coming up in a little bit, I got a chance to catch up with Danny Parkins earlier today. We will play that for you. Happy to do that. Always great to catch up with my guy, Danny Parkins. All right, so these are the two things I'd like to do before we play our conversation with Danny Parkins. First thing is, on ESPN right now, every day they are going through a different position, and they are offering up who coaches, executives, scouts, etc., who they think are the top 10 players at a certain position. They are currently at defensive tackle. Here's who they have as the top 10 defensive tackles in the league. Number 10, Jordan Davis. Number 9, Milton Williams. Number 8, Zach Allen. Number 7, Dexter Lawrence. Number 6, Quinnen Williams. Number 5, Derek Brown. 4, Chris Jones. Number 3, Jalen Carter. 2, Jeffrey Simmons. And number 1, Leonard Williams. He plays for the Seattle Seahawks. Rob, are you surprised that Chris Jones is still viewed as a top 5 defensive tackle by those in the know in the NFL?
I am not surprised. Chris Jones, whether it's name cachet or game or a little bit of both, is very highly regarded in league circles. It is similar to me with the way that Chiefs fans view Trent McDuffie, where I think the view locally and the view nationally are not the same. Chris Jones is no longer Leonard Williams. He's no longer on a trajectory to be Aaron Donald. He's no longer the best defensive tackle in football. There are better ones now. But he is, if the kids were doing the S tier, A tier, whatever, he is one tier down from the best of the best. It does not surprise me he is viewed that way, but I'm betting locally it does shock because he is graded on a more harsh curve in Kansas City.
So let me read to you the little blurb that they have. Quote, he is still a guy that you need to game plan for, but you don't feel him as much as you used to. I think that's a fair assessment. I think most Chiefs fans would agree with that. He's still a very, very good player. He doesn't feel nearly as dominant as he did in years past. Quote, but he's been one of the best for a long time. It then goes on to say, Chris Jones posted an 18% pass rush win rate, topped amongst defensive tackles. He had 7 sacks last year, led the NFL in pass rush wins, etc. Some evaluators thought that Chris Jones needed his snaps reduced after 2024. And that Kansas City would benefit from reducing that number slightly to keep him fresh. He played 762 snaps in 2025. I do think, and no one wants to hear this because of how much money he makes, I do think that Chris Jones is on the field too much. And I think it would be in their best interest, and it would help everybody if you sort of reduce his minutes, so to speak. You know we love a cross-board comparison. You got Chris Jones playing 35, 40 minutes of an NBA game. You probably need to get that to 25 and 30 if you want to get the most out of him and keep him fresh. I do think some of the issues that we run into with Chris Jones at this stage in his career is you play him too much, he gets tired at the end of the game, so that motor's not running the way that it used to. They would do themselves a world of good if they could take some of that responsibility off their plate. Now, you got to develop those other guys, but you have spent the resources over the last couple of years either drafting defensive tackles, a guy like Peter Woods, either picking up a defensive tackle like you just got, the guy from New England whose name is escaping me on the top of my
Tonga.
Head. Yeah, Kyrus Tonga. You need those guys to start stepping up where on first and second down, you feel comfortable enough with those guys being on the field. And then on third down, when it's the money down, you bring in Chris Jones and tell him to get after the quarterback. That could help Kansas City greatly. I then started to notice this. I would say right now, other than Mahomes, because your quarterback's in a different category, all the guys on their team that you would consider to be top five in their position are guys that are either potentially in their last year on the team. A guy like Travis Kelce, I imagine he's going to be a top five tight end in the league. Chris Jones, who's a top five defensive tackle in the league, or a guy that you feel doesn't play a premium position. Yeah, Creed Humphrey might be number one. He plays center. Yeah, maybe you think Nick Bolton's the best middle linebacker in the National Football League. I mean, he's not great in coverage. He's not a guy that's going to get you a whole lot of sacks. So, I mean, it's great to have that player. Not saying he's a negative to have, but all of the guys that you would consider to be their elite high-end talent, it used to be at tight end. We used to think they had the best pass catcher in the league. They used to have the best deep ball, deep weapon threat in Tyreek Hill in the league. Chris Jones, at one point, he was the best defensive tackle, and he was that at 31 years old. Now, it's a little different. All their top five guys are either potentially in their last year like Jones and Kelce, or they just play a non-premium position. And that's why I will continue to say that's what they need more than anything. Rob, we might disagree about this guy. What they really need is Mansoor Delane to turn out to be a star. What they really need is Peter Woods to be that guy, or Mason Thomas to end up being one of the better young pass rushers. How they built themselves a dynasty was, yes, getting it right at the quarterback position. They had stars. They had a top five safety in the league in Tyrann Mathieu. They had a top five defensive tackle in Chris Jones. They had the best tight end in the league. They had maybe the best wide receiver in the league at one point. Snead, at one time, people thought was maybe the best corner of the league, or certainly in that conversation. They got to get back to having elite high-end talent. You don't do special things without having special players. They don't have a lot of special players under the age of 30.
And something that you hit on there that we also agree on, and the way you acquire those players is in the draft. Like, it's great to add Kenneth Walker, who I know came up in at number 9, and he's, I think he just turned 25. His exact age on the top of my head. It's great to acquire that player. He's a good player. But the easiest way to acquire star players who are under 30 years old is the draft. So for better or worse, it falls on Delane. It falls on Woods. It falls on R. Mason Thomas. It falls on, hey, Rashee Rice, stop getting arrested. You still fit in this category. You were a guy who was drafted. Xavier Worthy, it's time to shine. Like, do something. Like, their first and second round picks in this Mahomes 2.0, 3.0, whatever you want to call it, they have to become stars. Karloff has to take a step forward. Like, that's how they continue to be a dynasty. They will always be a good team because they have 15, but they're going to get back to their dynastic ways. It has to be drafting stars because paying for them gets very expensive very quickly.
Text line 913-586-7965. CDOT, having to put your highest paid defensive player on a snap count is wild. Somebody else says, CDOT, you have to give us a reference. 750 out of 800, then I'd say yes, rest them more. But 750 out of 1,100 defensive plays, I'd say that's about right. So last year, the most number of snaps on the Chiefs defense was Chamari Connor. He played in a little over 1,022 snaps. Nick Bolton was in second, 1,012. Chris Jones played 762 snaps. He played in 73% of the defensive snaps that the Chiefs had. I just think that's a little bit too high of a number for a guy who's 32 years old at that position. Like, I know the money and I get all of that, but we also got to be realistic here. We're talking about a guy who's 32 years old, who's played a decade in the National Football League, weighs, what do we think Chris Jones weighs, 280 pounds? and we're asking Chris Jones to play 73% of the game, I'm just not surprised that either late in games or late in the season, that guy runs out of gas a little bit. I say this, and I understand that some players defy this. Man, football is a young person's game. Football is a game that is best played between human beings between the ages of 22 and 28 years old. Certainly at certain positions. Quarterback's a little bit different. But if you got a defensive lineman who has been banging up against other human beings now for over a decade in the league, we're not counting college, we're not counting high school, we're not counting all of that. Those miles just add up on your body over time. And I think that's very clear what is happening with Chris Jones. I'm not saying you got to use him 30% of the time, but having him be on the field as much as George Karlaftis, even though he's 6 years older than George Karlaftis, it explains why I think you see some of the gaps in effort from Chris Jones at times.
I also think the Chiefs saw this too. Now, maybe the Chiefs were thinking this the last year of Chris Jones, or maybe the second last year of Chris Jones, based on how his contract is going to work. But they drafted Peter Woods, who's a defensive tackle. They signed Kyrus Tonga. Like, they have begun to think about life after Chris Jones and how to balance and get the most out of Chris Jones. We talk about this on offense all the time with Travis Kelce. He can't be your number one target guy anymore. That time in his career has passed. For Chris Jones, at another taxing position, that time of being Aaron Donald has passed. You can still be valuable, be helpful, and be a disruptor. You just have to massage it to get the most out of him with where he's at in his career.
Just to give you an example, I understand that every team is different, right? I get that. I completely understand. Chris Jones played about as many snaps last year as Byron Murphy did for the Seattle Seahawks. About as many snaps as Byron Murphy, who's a very, very good player, who was on the honorable mention right on the outside. He was 11 this year. Byron Murphy's 23 years old. We're talking about a defensive tackle that's a decade older than him, and they're on the field the same amount. So I just think that stuff matters. Again, I'm not here to make excuses for Chris Jones. I do think we just got to be a little bit realistic. The fact that the Chiefs have not developed a number two and number three, and they are asking the same of Chris Jones in 2026 that they were asking of him in 2016. They're asking the same of Travis Kelce in 2026 that they were in 2016. It explains why last year we started to feel like the Chiefs were a little bit long in the tooth. They got to just start developing some more guys who are in the prime of their career and are playing at high levels. And when they were winning championships and winning Super Bowls, that's what they had. Kelce was in the prime of his career. Tyreek Hill was in the prime of his career. Mahomes was playing some of the best football we've ever seen. You got to redevelop those superstars. You got to find new characters for your television show. They just don't have a whole lot of new characters.
I think they need to do that while simultaneously making sure they maximize what they have left with those players. Like, thinking of use Tom Brady's Bucks for an example. Tom Brady's at the end of his career, and so was Rob Gronkowski. How did the Bucks use Rob Gronkowski? It was not the same way the Patriots are using him in 2017. It was different. How were the Bucks using, you know, one of these aging veteran guys who came to Tampa Bay to win a Super Bowl with Tom? They handled it differently while simultaneously leaning on their stars. Now, their stars were Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, what have you, but they didn't ask Leonard Fournette to touch the ball 350 times that year. They got the most out of Leonard Fournette. That's what the Chiefs need to do with the players they have under contract that are veterans. Get the most out of Travis Kelce. Get the most out of Chris Jones while simultaneously developing the next player to fill that gap, because you have to understand they are not forever Chiefs anymore.
Text line 913-586-7965. So let's move on from this. This was a text that we got yesterday, and I wrote it down and I saved it because I knew we would be in this moment that we are in. So we were talking about George Karlaftis yesterday and how he did not show up at all on people's top 10 pass rusher list. He was not an honorable mention. He is not talked about outside of Kansas City. I was making the point of, if the Chiefs defense is going to be able to hit their ceiling on what they can be, I'm not saying that George Karlaftis has to become a top 5 pass rusher in the league. It'd be good if we looked at him like a top 15 pass rusher in the National Football League. That's something that they could desperately use. Somebody texted in and said that they thought I was off. Hey, we don't need George Karlaftis to be dominant. We just need him to be productive. Rob, is that a statement that you would agree with? Because I actually disagree with it. I think we have to put into context, I don't think that you need George Karlaftis to turn out to be Max Crosby. But the Chiefs have dictated that George Karlaftis is somebody that they see as a part of their foundation. We always make the argument of you can't pay everybody, that you got to let guys like Trent McDuffie go and you got to make decisions on who you want to pay and who you don't want to pay. They made a decision that they see George Karlaftis as a emerging young talent, that they see him as a foundational piece for their defense. Well, then you need him to be a disruptor. Like, I don't want to get caught up in the weeds of trying to hold him to some arbitrary numbers that can move, but George Karlaftis needs to be a presence in this game. He needs to wreak havoc. When you watch some of these other teams with these elite defensive lines, you see they have one or two guys that you got a game plan for, you feel like you got a double team, or there is a guy on the other team that when we're breaking a game down over the course of the week, you think, hey, we got to do a good job against him. I assure you that when the Chiefs are playing Buffalo, they are not thinking about what are we going to do to stop George Karlaftis this week. That's the kind of player that he needs to turn into. He needs to turn into someone who can disrupt what the other team does offensively. That's just not what he was last year.
So to answer your question and the text line's question, it's going to take some nuance here because define productive. Because I do think the Chiefs can be okay if George Karlaftis is productive. We have to define what productive is. I do not need him to be Brian Burns from last year. I do not need him to be Danielle Hunter from last year. Those were 15, 16 sack season guys. I don't need him being Aiden Hutchinson at 14 and a half sacks. That's probably too high of a ceiling. But, and maybe this is, we're saying the same thing, and the text line just says it differently too. He can be a 9.5 to 10.5 sack guy. That level of production, I think the Chiefs will be okay. If he became what Montez Sweat was for the Bears last year, who had 10 sacks, if he's what, you know, Alex Highsmith was for the Steelers, 9.5 sacks, if he's that type of guy and every once in a while, you know, pops up and has a Byron Young 12 sack season, great. But he doesn't need to be Aiden Hutchinson 14.5, but he's got to be sniffing double digits, which would put him as a top 15 pass rusher in the league. And that level of productivity is all the Chiefs are asking from.
I don't disagree with you, but I guess to bring this conversation full circle, and it goes along with the top 10 list that we were talking about, is then if that's not what he's going to be, that's fine. Well, then you need two of those guys. Then you need three George Karlaftises. You don't need one Aaron Donald. That's not what I think Seattle has on their defensive line. They don't have a guy that you think is maybe the best arguably ever at his position. But you know what they got? They got three or four very, very good defensive linemen that you feel like you can get pressure with just your front four. We can't sit here in October and November and having conversations about how Spags can dial up blitzes and how Spags has to be creative at getting pass rush. No. You need your first round picks, your second round picks, your second and third contract guys. You need them to be able to generate pressure with that front four to help out that young emerging secondary, and they don't need extra help and protection. We would agree. I think you can be the most diehard Chiefs fan possible. Their secondary is going to need some help. You got a lot of young guys who just haven't played a whole lot. Mansoor Delane's never played in the league. Noel Williams played half a season last year if you're going off the snaps. Their secondary is going to need some help. If you got to use those guys to help generate a pass rush, and now you got Chamari Connor, and you got Jaden Hicks, and you got Mansoor Delane one-on-one on the backside of your defense, barbecue chicken alert. Everybody knows it. So again, I'm not saying here that you need George Karlaftis to turn into Max Crosby. You need your front four to be able to hold their own. And you need a couple of these guys. They need to develop into stars. That's how you win Super Bowls. We can go through the last 7, 8 Super Bowl champions, Kansas City included. We thought Kansas City had the second best defensive tackle in the league when they were winning championships. Look at Philadelphia's front four. Look at their defensive line. Look at Seattle's defensive line. Look at the Rams when they won the Super Bowl. Look at Tampa Bay's front seven when they beat Kansas City up in that Super Bowl 6, 7 years ago. That's what you got to develop in Kansas City. And they have spent the draft pick compensation to try to do that. You spent the second round pick on R. Mason Thomas. You spent the first round pick on Peter Woods. You just gave George Karlaftis $90 million. Hey, it's time to start getting those guys together all on one page. And maybe not in year one, but by year two and year three, where you spent those level of resources, you need to start seeing fruits of that. And that has to be, you got one of the better front fours in the league.
To that point, I'm looking at the stats from last year. The Seahawks were 9th in the NFL in sacks last year. Not the best, but they were 9th in the NFL in sacks. But when you look at their individual statistics, no one had more than 7. It is clear, now, whether Brett Veach wants to call it this, whether they're going to acknowledge this was the plan, the Chiefs defense is built like the Seahawks conceptually. They don't anymore have that dog. They don't have Danielle Hunter who's going to get 15. They don't have Myles Garrett who's going to get 23 or whatever absurd number he got. But looking at the Seahawks, Nwosu, 7. Leonard Williams, 7. Byron Murphy, 7. DeMarcus Lawrence, 6. Jaron Reed, that's a name from the past, 3. Nick Iwuemori, 2.5. Boye Mafe, 2. It was just
a bunch
so
of dogs,
many people.
Sure. A bunch
and
of dogs.
You look at the Chiefs' defensive line, that is what they are trying to recreate. They don't think George Karloftis is a 14-sack guy. They think he's 9, though. They don't think Chris Jones is the 20-sack a guy he sees anymore. They think he's an 11 guy, and then you get R. Mason Thomas to pitch in
with
4.
Five.
Yeah.
Yep.
You get, you know, a blitzing linebacker to pitch in with, you know, 3 or 4. You get Peter Woods to pitch in with 3 or 4, and suddenly you're top 10 in sacks again, and you don't have a dog, but you still are one of the better pass rush units in the NFL.
Coming up in a little bit, we'll hear from Danny Parkins, our guy. He is on Fox Sports 1. We'll play that for you here coming up in just a little bit. So I want to play this audio for you. So there is a new change in college athletics. I'm sure there will be a different change by the next show that we have. But right now, the NCAA has instituted what they are calling a 5-in-5 rule. So very simple. From the moment you step on a college campus, you have 5 years to play college sports. You can redshirt if you want, nothing stopping you, but that is one of your 5 years. Now you got 4 years to play college athletics. I am all for this rule. I think this is a fair medium. I'm cool with them having more than the 4 years and playing five. What I'm not fine with is a guy who's on his 7th year and he's on 5 different teams. I don't like that. I don't think the public likes that. So a player locally who could greatly benefit from the 5-in-5 rule would be Avery Johnson. Avery Johnson and the old rules would be a senior. He is not a senior anymore. He could come back next season at K-State if he wants to. Someone asked him, hey, have you thought about this? Is this something that you've given any consideration at Big 12 Media Day? Here's what he says.
If I needed another a year to play college football, it's something I'd look into, but it's not something I'd talk to my family about or even something I've thought of this year. I'm kind of more just focused on the season, so kind of just see how the season goes, and I'm looking forward to the season and excited to the season, and that's something that I think we'll all just deal with after.
I'm not saying Avery can't have a great season. I'm not. K-State fan, I don't want you on your Go Power Cat. I don't want you yelling at me. Oh, Carrington said, no, I did not say that. I watched 3 years of Avery Johnson. He's completing 58% of his passes in college football. Maybe he takes a big jump this year, but I'm going to guess he's probably not turning into a first-round pick or a second-round pick in this year's draft class, not with how strong we perceive it to be. He feels like a day-3 pick at best to me in the National Football League. If your choices are to be a fifth-round pick in the Dolphins or keep being the quarterback of Kansas State, you will make way more money being the quarterback of Kansas State. So I don't need him to think about it. I'm telling you what will be in your best interest. Keep playing college football. As long as they'll let you play college football, I'd keep doing it if you're Avery Johnson. That's the best job you can have. You get to be the man on campus. You get to work with Colin Klein. K-State should be good this year. We'll see how good they can be, but I think they could be an 8-9 win team. I think this is a great situation for Avery Johnson. I don't think he is going to the NFL next year. I don't think he should. Could he be a 7th-round pick by somebody? I mean, maybe, sure. But I feel pretty confident in saying there is no job that Avery Johnson can take that will have a greater earning potential than him being a college football quarterback next season. So I would stay. Whether it's at K-State, whether you transfer somewhere else, I would keep playing college football as long as they let you keep playing college football. This upcoming season, get your completion percentage up. Have one of those dynamic monster years. Go into year 5 as the preseason pick for all Big 12 quarterback. Those are the things that I'd be focused on if I'm Avery Johnson and getting this team back on track and getting back to a bowl game. That's what I would do if I'm them. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get you ready for this weekend and the World Cup. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
You're listening to The Drive with Carrington Harrison, the go-to show for dating advice you didn't ask for.
If you got to ask your girl to help on the bill on Valentine's Day, you've done something wrong.
On your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5, The Fan.
I want to spend just a little bit talking about the NBA. I want NBA teams to have a little bit of dignity. Listen to this report from Shams about LeBron. This is real nasty work.
And one interesting wrinkle that has occurred in the last several days is some of the leading suitors for LeBron James, whether that's a Golden State, a Cleveland, Miami, Minnesota, Philadelphia, some of them have been able to send a voice note to LeBron.
The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
James, via Rich Paul, so whether it's an owner, a president, or a general manager, being able to record a voice note, I'm told, send it to Rich Paul, and that makes its way to LeBron James. This is just a part of LeBron James's process of studying as he makes the decision. He has not been in a rush. There's been no timetable that he's been operating under. I'm told there's been a lot of family time, friends time, golf, of course, over the last couple of weeks. The last two he's spent in the Akron, Ohio area, including with one of his close friends that he grew up with in Brandon Weems, who's now one of the leading executives of the Cleveland Cavaliers under President Kobe Altman. So the process continues, and it's unclear whether Cleveland or Miami have been among the teams that have sent a voice note to LeBron via Rich Paul. Again, they kind of don't need to. They already had him in their buildings in the recent past.
Hey, what are these NBA teams doing, man? It's just been a show of confusion. I just don't know what's going on. I will say, LeBron, if there's one thing we know about him, he's going to milk this time. This is the last time that LeBron has our interest, at least about what team he's going to play for. I don't want this to go like it did for Aaron Rodgers. You remember, there was a time we really cared about what team Aaron Rodgers played for. He went into that darkness retreat, and he came out, and he said that he was going to go on Pat McAfee's show, and we couldn't wait. Hey, what are you going to do, Aaron? You going to retire? You going to go play for the Jets? You know, that was an interesting time. Aaron Rodgers took a little bit of time this offseason, announced he was coming back, announced it was his last season, and we hit him with the Mike Tomlin. We do not care. Nobody cares that this is Aaron Rodgers' last season. Nobody cares. Not a single person. LeBron, I don't want that to be you. Now, I know you're not Aaron Rodgers, but you get the point that I'm making. Come on now. Just go back to Cleveland, man. Go home. Go back to Cleveland. Announce this is your last season. Get your farewell tour. Get your final send-off. Get loved on by the fans. And let's just call it a night, man. That's what I want for LeBron.
I'm utterly confused by this voice notes thing. What are these?
Can you imagine sending a voice note to another? I mean, I just.
But it's to send it to Rich Paul to give this to LeBron. That's like passing notes in class.
That's weird to me. Like, can you imagine, like, you're a 57-year-old man. You're sending voice notes, and now you're sending them to him, and you're saying, make sure LeBron gets this. Like, you got to have a little dignity, bro. There's no way you want me to believe this is what Pat Riley's doing. There's no way you want me to believe this is what Eric Spoelstra's doing. This sounds like Minnesota to me. That's what this sounds like. This sounds like something Joel Embiid would do. Not the Heat. Not you. You think the Steph Curry's doing this? You think Draymond's doing this to try to get him to play for the Warriors? You gotta have some dignity about yourself. This is nasty work.
What do you think the voice notes are saying? Like, let's say you're let's use the Sixers or the Nuggets, for example.
Thinking about you.
Hey, you get who's the owner of the Stan Kroenke. Let's say Stan Kroenke, who's like 75, 80 years old, I believe. They say, we need you to send a voice note to LeBron so that he can begin to study our team. What do you say? Hey, we have Jokic. I mean, there's nothing you can say in a voice note that you can't already have him know or already have communicated. This is just very goofy behavior by Rich Paul and LeBron James. And Shams was like, this is part of his process. Well, it's a stupid part of his process. It's a bad part of his process. And clearly it's new to his process because this was not the case any of their times LeBron has left home.
I want to read something to you. So one of my friends, she works at Power 105.1. Shout out to her. Her name is Evening. And, you know, they have like, you know, radio stations that always have like topics in between the music or whatever, right? So today her topic was, in dating, what's a bigger red flag? Is it someone who responds too quickly or someone who responds too slow? So it was, a quick response means that you're thirsty and a slow response means that you aren't interested. And it was like a poll question for people. They were calling in the radio and they were offering up opinions. Now, I didn't call the radio station or anything. I'm not that interested in the topic, but I did send her a message and I said, very simple. If it's a penalty now to respond too quickly to a text, like, I understand replying too late to a text. Like, if you text a girl good morning and then she replies to you at 6 o'clock at night, I certainly understand how over time that could just turn you off and how you're not interested in talking to her anymore. Like, I get that. That makes sense to me. Rob, you're telling me that you could send a young lady a text, she replies to you, and then she gets mad that you replied to her too quickly? This is all confusing. Our generation might be cooked. I've thought this for some time. The evidence has certainly been there that we might be cooked. If there are women out here, there's young ladies out here that see you replying to their message as a negative, what are we doing here? Again, this is just a show of confusion. That doesn't even make sense to me. I get how you can be too slow. I don't know how you can be penalized for being too fast. I understand how you can be in trouble for sending too many texts. We've all had the person in our life that they just send too many texts. And you're like, I'm overwhelmed. Like, what are we doing here? We're both at work. You sent me 9 texts. I can't read all this. I don't have the time. I can understand being mad at somebody who replies too infrequently. Like, I just don't talk to you enough, you know? Like, I want to have a little bit more interaction. You asked me how I was doing. You're mad that I quickly replied to your message? That's weird to me.
I had the exact same thought. I was like, actually, my actual thought was, thank God I'm married. Because if it is a penalty to respond quickly, and it's like a red flag, what are we doing? I get the bad response. That one is the obvious answer to me. If you get a text or using a text that, even not even a good morning text, if using a text like 11:30 in the morning, around lunch, and you get a response at, you know, 9 o'clock at night, that's bad. It's infrequent, it's slow, I get it. That's problematic. But you're telling me I text you at 11:30, you text back 11:35, and I respond at 11:38, I'm a problem because I'm trying to engage in conversation? That's wrong.
I'm telling you, it'd be too many rules, bruh. These rules only exist if you're not really interested in that person. Like, you know how they say, like, there's a difference in, like, flirting and harassment, and it really just depends on how much the person likes you? I feel like that's the same, too. Like, wait, we just had a really good date, so I call you the next day, and now that's a negative that I called you? Like, what are we doing here? Then you didn't really have a good time, then. You know what I mean? Like, this doesn't make any sense. You text me. You started the conversation. Now you're mad that I engaged in the conversation? This is weird. And then it creates too many, well, when can I reply? No, just show interest in this person and then hope that that person shows enough interest in you back and you guys have reciprocal energy and you guys can move forward in a relationship. This is dumb. I don't know what's going on with people today. That's
the podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
That's really the theme of the show. I just have no clue what's going on with people. Coming up on the other side, we will reset things. The World Cup is on. That's what they tell me. I would know, but I don't know how to work the television. I have no clue how to work the television. Rob will update you on what is happening in the World Cup. We'll also catch up with Danny Parkins. There's a lot to get into. Keep it right here, SirDrive. Congratulations on getting through your 9 to 5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. Rob, can you give us an update on what is happening in the World Cup? I'm sure it is fun. I'm sure it is exciting. I am just not watching the World Cup because I don't know how to work the television.
I mean, we're going to have to fix this. We got to get you to understand how to work the television in there.
You know what? After this, it's not really going to matter because there's not going to be a lot more sporting events on during the day until we get to March Madness next year. There's not going to be a lot of football games on during the day that I need to watch and I need to be paying attention to. So we're about done with this World Cup. I don't know how to work the television. I don't know how to work the remote. I always need you to do it. I feel like I'm 81 years old, so I just decided I give up. I give up. Can you update us on what happened?
The game or match for the day has gone final. France beats Morocco 2-0. Another goal for Kylian Mbappe. He is inevitable. And into the semifinals Tuesday on Fox, France is headed forward.
Okay, so if I understand this correctly, if Spain wins,
Spain-France is the semifinal on that side.
Tuesday night.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do we know what time that would be?
They have not picked times yet, or they haven't announced times yet on Fox. All right, haven't seen them come across.
But hopefully that game's at night, so we all can sit down and watch it.
Correct. And
I don't want it to be at 3 o'clock in the afternoon like this one was. I don't know whose idea it was to have a 3 o'clock Thursday World Cup kick in the United States. I could see if this was somewhere else, like. Who set up this television schedule?
Now, it's designed to have everyone, because tomorrow Spain-Belgium's at 2 o'clock.
But who does this help? There's only one game today. Why was it in the middle of the day?
By the way, France and their semifinal match will be at 2 o'clock, so...
Just whose idea was this? I'm serious. I don't understand.
I think the thought process by FIFA is you put it 2 o'clock, you know, Kansas City time, 3 o'clock in the East. It's not 2 a.m. in England. It's not... You know, 5 a.m.
They don't seem to care about us when it's time for their World Cup. They got you in the middle of the night watching games in Saudi Arabia during football season. Why are we accommodating them? 2 o'clock?
2 o'clock.
In Boston?
Sellout, by the way.
I mean, you know what? Now the hydration breaks make sense. You got them playing at 2 o'clock in July. I don't get it. I don't understand.
So we got to get that TV fixed because 2 o'clock.
Saturday night, they got it. They got it the way they need to be. I'm actually really interested in this Norway-England game. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Your fascination with Norway has been fun to watch.
Yeah, early on. Because you know what? I discovered him.
Is that what happened?
That's what happened. I discovered him. I'll never forget. I was sitting there. I was having brunch. And they had the television on. And I saw this guy score 2 goals. And I was just like, hey, he's really good at soccer. And then I asked Rob. And Rob was like, you know what? You know ball. So, yeah, my favorite team. Well, I have a bet on France, so I want to see them do well, obviously, for financial reasons. But Norway. So, yeah, I'm rooting for Norway. I want to see Norway come out of this side of the bracket. Between Norway, England, Argentina, and Switzerland, I mean, Messi's already won one. I mean, I would cheer for him, but he's already won one before. He won the, what's the MVP award you get?
Golden Boot?
Yeah, he won that last year. So he's already got one. Let's let somebody new get a chance. So I'm rooting for Norway.
That's fair. It will be, but I mean France, Spain, or even France, Belgium will be a great time.
If they put this game on Tuesday, it's gonna be Tuesday at 2 o'clock again.
Tuesday at 2.
Bro, what's going on here?
We gotta get you to figure out those TVs.
I wanna see that one. I know. France and Spain.
I believe the next one will be Wednesday at 2 as well.
2 o'clock?
Argentina versus Norway.
They're doing that on Sunday, too. Sunday is going to be at 2 o'clock next Sunday for the championship.
Well, that makes sense for the final. Standalone 2 o'clock.
No, let's put it at night. We put events on in this country, primetime events. We put them on at night.
What are you talking about? The 325 CBS is primetime.
That's different. It's football. I don't know. It's different. You make a good point. I have nothing else to say. I didn't have a counter to what you said. It's different is what I want to tell you. It's different. Somebody said Mbappe, he left with an injury. He's hurt.
I mean, he's walking around in post-game celebrating.
Christian Pulisic, he'd be out for the rest of the tournament. He'd be done.
This goal, you don't have a TV in there, but...
I'll see it eventually.
The goal Mbappe scores is really enjoyable.
Yeah, he's the best soccer player in the world.
He's now second all-time in knockout round goals. 25 years old.
Yeah, I think he's the best. I mean, I don't know, but... That's just what I see. He looks like the best soccer player in the world to me. I put him 1, Messi 2, and Haaland 3. That's what I think the top 3 is.
Wow. The disrespect for Lamine Yamal is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, he's okay. I mean, he's all right. He's having an okay World Cup. Not like those other two guys. They're having amazing World Cups. He's just having a fine World Cup. Those other guys are having an amazing World Cup. I am interested. 913-586-7965. Are you guys still into this? Like, I don't think you guys are expecting us to do these super serious breakdowns when it comes to it. But, I mean, just a large majority of these games come on during the day for the rest of this tournament. And there's no more U.S. Like, tomorrow, there's a game at 2. Saturday's a little bit different. It's the weekend. There's no game on Sunday. I don't know who scheduled this. There's no game on Sunday. Monday, there's no game. Tuesday at 2. Wednesday at 2. So, I mean... We only got about 5 or 6 more games left in this, and a large majority of them are going to happen at work.
I mean, to be fair, one of your big takes is people like the NCAA tournament because it takes part daring work.
It's a little different. We love the NCAA tournament. We like the World Cup. It's cool. It come around every once in a while.
Have you seen the TV ratings?
No, it's great. No, the World Cup is
like that. England-Mexico game got bananas ratings.
For sure. No, I'm with you. We like the World Cup is like that cousin that when you see him again, it get all those old feelings. You don't want to hang out with that cousin all the time, though. That cousin's crazy. You know that cousin is crazy. He's going to have you up late night drinking, eating foods you shouldn't be drinking. Now, yeah, but that's a really fun cousin to hang out with. Let's not compare it to the NCAA tournament. That's your favorite time of the year. Rob, you take off during the NCAA tournament. You can't wait to take off. Someone on the text line says, the World Cup has been fun. I'm over. Who do you have in the Conor McGregor fight? I'm actually going to the Conor McGregor fight. I will be off on Friday because I'll be traveling to Vegas to go to the fight. I don't know anything about it. I just don't want to see Conor get the beats.
I have father time in five rounds.
Yeah, I just don't want to see him get the beats. The last couple of times he's gone out there, what I know is he's gotten the beats. Now, if you've been to Vegas before, there's been some great times. Vegas is different when Manny Pacquiao is fighting. Vegas is different when Conor McGregor is fighting. Those are two people that just the energy. You got NBA Summer League and Conor McGregor at the same time, huh? It's a lot of different groups all in Vegas at one time. It's going to be a great time. Looking forward to it. Can we play this story again, Rob? Can this be hit number one? I know you got to do the read because we love our sponsors.
It can be hit and run. I'll play the read right now.
Your workday
hold on.
Is over.
Hold on. I got to ask. Hold on. I got to be quiet.
You can't call for a pause.
No, my bad. No, I was going to say hit number one. Can we play that Jungle Law rap? They got a rap now.
By the way, speaking of Jungle Law, and I'll do the read here in a minute. I have confirmed they will be in studio Monday, July 27th.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. How long?
I told them from 4:15 to either 4:40 or 5, whatever's better for their schedule. So 4 o'clock hour, Jungle Law in studio, July 27th.
I'm perfectly fine if Jungle Law spends the rest of the show. You can reach back out to them and say that we're fine with them spending the rest of the show with us. I'd love to know what Jungle Law thinks about the Chiefs. I'd love for him to answer legal questions. You guys think I'm joking. That's what I'm looking forward to. We don't even got Chiefs training camp. You can't even say, why are you not? There's nothing else to talk about on July 27th. So, yeah, if you want to reach back out to Jungle Law and tell him Carrington is interested in having him for a long period of time, I am. Some of you could probably use some free legal advice. I'm trying to help you get it. It costs for you to ask a lawyer a question. I want to help you.
That'll be the Monday after camp started, so Rashee Rice might be.
They ain't going to be in pads yet. It don't matter. They ain't going to be in pads yet.
Yeah, but I mean, will he be in legal problems by then?
He might need it for him. That's what I'm saying. we might need to introduce those two.
Mr. Rice is on line one.
Can you play the little rap they have? They have like a rap commercial?
I didn't record it into the system, so I don't know where it is.
Okay, I didn't know. I just heard it during the thing. I'm like, wait, hold on. This sounds new. I never heard this before.
I can probably search to find it.
That must be the one they play on like 103. And they gave us the same one. They were like, here, we got to use this on both ones. That can't be the one they're playing on Q104. They can't be playing that one. You got the audio? Rob's looking real puzzled at the
computer. Yeah, I'm not going to
okay. Don't worry about it. It's all right. Don't worry about it. So that would have been hit number one. Rob missed hit number one. Just saw it go right down the middle of the plate. He's now down 0-1. Got to protect the plate. We will make this hit number two. This was a news story from our friends over at 41 News. This is a bar in the Northland mad that they are not getting the boost from the World Cup.
After years of preparing for one of the world's biggest sporting events, the World Cup has filled Kansas City Stadium, Fan Fest, and bars across KC. But north of the river, it's been a different story.
We thought maybe we'd get a little bit just based on proximity to the airport.
As the Northland reporter, I spent months talking to business owners preparing for this event. For Laura Lowry, owner of Barley and Vine in downtown Platte City, that meant bringing down extra TVs, creating World Cup-themed drink specials, and even extending business hours.
It's fun on a USA game, but other than that, the TVs are on and no one's watching them.
Lowry says she believes location has played a big role, being 30 minutes away from where the World Cup activities are taking place.
The people who are coming to Kansas City, they're coming to watch the game and to be a part of these World Cup events. So us being 30 minutes removed from that definitely takes away our opportunity to participate in anything like that.
You know what? I can't remember who said this. Maybe it was somebody on the text line, and I wish I knew who you were because I would give you all the credit in the world. This was the best point anybody has made about the World Cup. If you're not a business that sees a boost when the Chiefs are playing, you should not expect a boost when the NFL draft is in town. You should not expect a boost when the World Cup is in town. Now, I understand there are some exceptions, and because of proximity, there's going to be some businesses downtown that, yes, they don't get your normal Chiefs crowd, but you're within walking distance. Like, there was a restaurant, I can't think of the name of it. It's right on the streetcar line. They took a couple of months off to get ready for the World Cup, and it worked out. It's right there. It's right in the heart of the action, and they have seen a big boost from the World Cup. It's right in the center of it, though. It's less than 5-minute walk away from Union Station. It's a little bit different. But if you're the sports bar or a regular bar or whatever it is, and on Sundays at 3:25, if you don't get a boost of people coming in to just watch the Chiefs game and be a part of the action and do all of that, I don't know why you thought that this World Cup was going to be radically different. I told you this point. I made this point 6 months ago. I firmly believe those early numbers that were thrown out there by the city, Mayor Quinn Lucas, Kathy Nelson, Pam Kramer, all of them, those early numbers that were thrown out, I think it got a lot of people to start thinking that there was going to be some large pot of gold at the end of the rainbow for everybody. And everybody started counting money. Everybody started thinking that they could Airbnb their house and pay off their mortgage. Everybody thought that their sports bar was going to be the most popping place in the city. And no, that has not happened for a large majority of you. Now, those of you who are right in the heart of the action, I'm sure Blue Line Hockey Bar, shout out to them and their owner, came on the show. I'm sure they're doing great. Phenomenal. They should. They're staying open until 5 o'clock. We haven't heard one story, one incident from them. It's right on the streetcar line. It's right next to Power and Light. It's right next to City Market. I hope they're having all the success in the world. But I just don't know how you thought in Platte City that you were going to get a boost of people coming out there to watch World Cup games. That doesn't even make sense to me. That's not even logical. That doesn't even pass the say it out loud test, in my opinion. Why did you think that?
I don't know who said this. I'm not the first, but I know it's a common sentiment. Those bars should have been doing their best to get locals to come in to take part in the World Cup and not trying to get out-of-towners. No person in town to watch the Dutch was going to do the Orange March down Grand and then jump in an Uber to go to Platte City. They weren't. But you know what you could have done? You could have been a really fun bar for people in Platte City to get away from the World Cup of Palooza. Or, hey, don't worry. And if you're worried about blank being busy downtown, Platte City has you covered with this place. But instead, everyone was chasing the foreign visitors and not everyone hit. And I feel like we're going to have, similar to the draft, story on story on story of, we thought we'd make $1 million and we fell short. Well, that's your own fault to be for thinking that the most popular person in the world, Lionel Messi, would drive people to Leawood, Kansas. It wasn't going to happen.
I'm 100% with you. You had to create that community. You had to create that foundation. I mean, I'm sure there are some bars that are outside of that area that, hey, you got a group of people that come in. Hey, we're doing World Cup specials. Come out here, get a little food, get a little drink, watch the game. Like, one thing we've seen is people want to watch these games in public with other people. People are having watch parties like these are football games. Like, I went to one for the USA game. Like, we didn't have our usual station one. Hey, let me go over here. Let me eat. Let me watch the game. People are doing that like it's football. That's why I made the point. If people are not doing that at your bar regularly for a major college football game, because you know the other place, big Iowa bar, packed during Iowa games. You would think Iowa's the Chiefs, how packed it is. If that's not the kind of business that you usually do, and you are now counting on people for that to be the place they think of to go watch a soccer match, it doesn't add up to me. It doesn't make any sense.
It makes literally no sense at all. I don't know why they thought that would happen.
So I don't know. Somebody on the text line says maybe this was their plan, free advertising. I mean, I'm happy to do. If they want to reach out to me, I'll go stop in. I'll go see them. I don't got nothing against
this. I can't imagine this was their plan. No offense to text line. You're telling me their plan was to have people like us talk about how poorly they're doing in the World Cup, and that was their
big marketing strategy. If that's the case, their marketing person needs to be fired.
I don't know. Maybe they don't have a marketing person. I mean, I'm serious. If they reached out to me and were like, hey, come stop in, come see it. Hey, I'm happy to go out there. You don't got to give me nothing free. I'll just go out there and just show you some love. I ain't got no issues doing that. But come on now. That makes sense to me. It's in Platte City. It's 30 minutes away. I just don't want some story during the Super Bowl where there's a bar in Independence. There's a coffee shop in Independence mad they haven't seen a boost from the Super Bowl. What did you think was going to happen? You thought people were going to get coffee and then go down the Radio Row? Like, you know, I mean, realistic. You're not being realistic here. Stop it. Doesn't make any sense. Do you think that Radio Row will be in Kansas or Missouri?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Like, there's two convention centers. There's the downtown Kansas City one or the Overland Park one. What do you think it's going to be?
They might build one where they might be building one as part of, was it Kingdom Crossing or they're calling that
thing. Try to keep it over there.
They might keep it near a stadium, but as of right now, I would imagine downtown. I mean, they have no problem busting the media all around cities. Like they were in Miami. You were there. They were nowhere close to the stadium. So maybe it will be downtown.
Yeah. I don't know. I have absolutely no clue.
I do know that Platte City bars are not going to experience a boom that day.
They will on Sunday for the game. Yeah.
How come the media isn't leaving from downtown to come to our bar?
For sure. People will absolutely go out to watch the Super Bowl game if you promote it. You got something cool going on. If there's one thing we love to do in this country, it's gather to watch that one game. Even more so, it'll be in our hometown. So great. Have your little big game party. Don't call it Super Bowl, though, because they ain't playing around.
You know what's really sad is the day after the big game, that small coffee shop in Olathe is not going to experience the boom they anticipated.
Yeah, I don't know.
When the Final Four comes here, I am heartbroken to report. I can tell you right now that Riverside did not experience a boom from the Final Four being in KCK the way they anticipated. That, are we going to do these tours at every major event?
Probably.
When the Women's World Cup comes
through.
It's
easy. People love it.
I think it's worse for this because people like to hate on soccer more than other sports, but it's been infuriating to watch.
Someone on the text line says this: locals thought a lot of businesses would be busy with tourists and made a lot of them stay home, so a double whammy. I certainly think that was the case early on. I would then say after about the first 5 days of the World Cup, it then became very clear that wasn't going to be the case in most places. Yes, there are some places that are packed with tourists. Like, no shade toward these other places. I may wait a little bit to get some barbecue. You know, get barbecue in a couple of weeks. Go to Gates in a couple of weeks if you're from here. You've had it a bunch, you know? Wait a little bit. Maybe wait a little bit to go to Joe's. Like, that line, you know what? I've had the Z-Man enough. I'll wait a couple of weeks to go back there. Jack Stack, yeah. But most of these places, yeah. No, I think it became very clear. Yeah, it was going to be your normals. It was going to be the customer base that you've already built up. I think that became very, very clear very, very early on.
That's why And listen, I know me and you disagreed on the 5 a.m. bar law, but credit the bars that did it, because I don't think the bars staying open until 5 a.m. are raking in international visitors. Like, I haven't sat down and talked with the owners of the Blue Line or the Quaff or where other places that are doing it, but I would imagine the people at the Blue Line at 4 a.m. are more likely to be Kansas Cityans than they are to be English tourists in town. That's a way that they had been catering to their own clientele. Hey, we have a chance to stay open later. You like coming to our bar? We're going to be open later. Like, that, it's a nice way to take care of business.
Coming up in the 5:30 segment, we're going to play my conversation with Danny Parkins. Always good to catch up with Danny. Rob, I actually have not asked you this. Where do you think LeBron is going?
Cleveland.
Okay. So we're on the same page. I think he's going back to Cleveland.
I think he's going back to Cleveland. I think he's friends with James Harden. I don't know why, but he is friends with James Harden. He's played golf with his old Akron buddy, who's like the VP of basketball operations. He has now, but then, it isn't the case then, but now he's a good relationship with Dan Gilbert. They are in a team that was what? They were in the Eastern Conference Finals last year against the Knicks. So, like, they are a team that is competitive, and they've moved the cap room around and have a couple young players where LeBron can walk in and be successful and do a farewell tour, all the stuff. I agree with you. I think it's Cleveland. I also agree with you that if it's Philly, yuck.
Did you see this story? Hold on. I don't know if you've seen this or not. But so Madison Square Garden, you know, they have like a VIP database. You know, they give a lot of tickets out, like a lot of those celebrity tickets. They give them to the celebrities. They don't got to pay for them. So I just saw this story. I was reading it during the break.
So Madison Square Garden, they have labels attached to a bunch of celebrities, and they gave this to Taylor Swift and her team about who they wanted to invite. So somebody like Mariska Hargitay, for example, you know, Mariska Hargitay, she was on the low risk, you know, not problematic. Everybody loves Olivia Benson. She's good. Michael Strahan, also on the low risk. You never heard nothing crazy about Michael Strahan. You know, everybody loves Michael Strahan. Eddie Falco, Carmella Soprano.
Edie,
my apologies. Edie Falco. Shout out to her. Carmella Soprano. What do you think that Julia Fox did to get on the do not host?
That's a great question.
I don't know enough about her story to know. Why do you think that she's on the list of people that you can't have at the function?
You think she got overserved?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce were going to invite her anyway. No. I'm just saying, can you imagine MSG handed you a list and told you, hey, this person cannot come to your wedding? Is crazy to me.
Is Charles Oakley on that list?
Yes, he for sure. He for sure is on that list.
Yeah, you can't have Oakley. How heartbroken were Kelce and Swift when Charles Oakley was a no-go?
I'm sitting here looking at it. This is crazy. They did have some other people on there. They have Morgan Wallen as medium risk. Why is Morgan Wallen a medium risk and Little John is a high risk? I don't really see Little John doing a whole lot to bother people. He might get the club crunk. He might get people turned up. He hasn't had nearly the issues that Morgan Wallen has had. Why is Morgan Wallen on medium risk?
Maybe he's not asking for tickets the same way Little John is.
I don't know. I don't know. I just saw this. So I just wanted to share that with you, that they had that list. I can't imagine you get a list from the venue and then they tell you, who's Will Harrison?
I don't know who Will Harrison is.
I feel like he hosted some show or something. Hold on, I'm going to Google him because he was on the do not host list. He's an actor. I don't know. I've never seen anything that he's in.
I have no idea who this is.
This is something you would know, Will Harrison, but he was not. He could not be invited to the wedding.
He was in a complete unknown. I don't know. I've seen any. I don't know. I've seen.
There's almost 40,000 people on this list that they have, and they have something by their name for every one of these people.
Yeah, I mean, between Knicks games and concerts and stuff, it makes sense. Sure.
I know that's a list you don't want to be on the do not. Let me ask you this: do you think Nick Wright is on this list?
Yes.
I think he is too. I would love to see the list. I think my guy's at the point that he's on this list.
Danny's probably not, but
no,
Nick
not yet. Not yet. It's going to take a little time for my guy to be on the list. But Nick should absolutely be on this
100%.
List.
If we find
he
out
he should be at no risk, what would Nick do?
I'm going to say he's probably no risk at all. Because there's no way that Nick's gone enough to be a problem.
Yeah, for sure. I was just wondering if you think he's on the list. All right, coming up on the side, I got a chance to catch up with Danny Parkins earlier today. We'll play that for you next. Keep it right here. So Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Brayton, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough. Just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Brayton wherever you get your podcasts.
Earlier today, I got a chance to catch up with my brother. His name is Danny Parkins. He is on First Things First on Fox Sports 1. All of that is great, but that's not what he goes by on this show. Park, what's good?
Good afternoon, C-Dot. What's going on, buddy?
I'm just trying to be more like you, Danny. Every time I look up, you're doing these man on the street bits with Knicks fans. You're getting ready for the World Cup. I'm just trying to be more like you, Danny.
Yeah, it's a good thing. It's going very well for me. You should.
All right, Danny, there's a lot that I want to get into. Let's start with this because you and I think are very similar in this. I'm not the biggest soccer fan. I'm not going to pretend to be the biggest soccer fan. But if you tell me that the best are competing at something and everybody around it seems to get into it, you can catch my attention for a month. I've really enjoyed this World Cup. You know, I found a favorite. I like the team. I've already been to a game. I've been going to the watch parties. Like, this has been a very easy tournament to get into and follow as we're kind of getting through these dog days of the summer.
Yeah, listen, I am a bigger soccer fan than you, but I'm not a big enough fan where I'm waking up, you know, at 7 in the morning and watching EPL games, you know? Like, I don't, it's just, so I think the World Cup is incredible. I love the World Cup every 4 years, but this World Cup has a few things going for it in that it's a U.S. World Cup, and so the games are in prime time, and they're on our soil. Like, you know, the World Cup that was in Qatar, the games were airing in the middle of the night. And, you know, sometimes when they air in hot, you know, in a couple, two World Cups from now, when it's in Saudi Arabia, they're probably going to have to push it a little bit with weather and because it'll be too hot, and it'll air during football season. So, like, this World Cup is in America at venues we know in all these great American cities. We get to interact with these unbelievable fans from all over the world, and they kind of have a cultural exchange, which is one of the best parts of sports. Then you get the big brands, Argentina, Spain, England, you know, the teams that you know, like the crests that you care about advancing, and the star players are performing like it's like they're NBA stars. You know, you go to an NBA game, you watch LeBron James, you have a high degree of confidence that he's going to give you at least 25 that night. You know, it's not like baseball where you could see Ohtani and he can go 0-for-4. Well, in soccer, you know, Messi has had an entire World Cup before where he had zero goals. So has Ronaldo. David Beckham had 3 career goals in the World Cup. Zlatan had 0 career World Cup goals. But in this World Cup, if you would have came into it and said, Harry Kane, Erling Haaland, Kylian Mbappe, Lionel Messi, those are the 4 biggest stars in the sport, they have 6, 7, 7, and 8 goals. So the biggest stars are performing, the biggest teams are advancing, the games are in prime time, the games are here in America. So whether you can go to a game or, like you said, watch parties, just interact with people at the game, it's about as easy of a World Cup to consume as we've ever had. And then you add on top of that, as I just keep going here, the U.S. had their most impressive, you know, group stage performance ever in terms of goals scored and won a knockout round game for the first time since 2002, even though it was around a 32 game and the tournament expanded. Still, like, the U.S. gave you something to root for and get behind also. So it's basically been a perfect start to the tournament.
I listened to your podcast with Bomani, and I agreed with a lot of what you had to say and what he had to say. I feel like the United States hit about as close to their ceiling as they were going to. They dominated their group stage. They were probably in a more favorable group. They were clearly better than Bosnia in the round of 32. They then got to the round of 16. They played a legitimate team from Europe, a team that beat them in February 5-2, and they got their boot smoked. Like, I'm not really sure if you redid this tournament and you started over, I'm not really sure if the U.S. would do much better than what they did. Sure, you're disappointed in how they performed in the game against Belgium, but in terms of expectation and hitting their ceiling, I think they came about as close as they were going to.
I think in retrospect, that is correct, but the goal was at least one more game because of things that you mentioned. Like, now it is 4 straight World Cups that the U.S. has qualified for where we were eliminated in the round of 16. And, of course, one World Cup, 2018, we didn't even qualify for. So we made it to the exact same round that we have made it to over the last, you know, literally 20 years since 2002 when we made the quarterfinals. The hope was, with Pochettino as manager and with this golden generation, quote-unquote, of U.S. soccer in its athletic prime, that they would take a step forward and have an advantage with, you know, the pot one draw for a host country, the tournament being expanded and all of those things. So how I've talked about it is this was ultimately a disappointment because the hope was they were going to win at least one more game and then have the measuring stick against a team like Spain. Instead, we had the measuring stick against a team like Belgium, a very good team, but not a tier one, you know, contender, not a France, not an Argentina, not a Spain, et cetera, not an England. And we fell way short and had such a terrible performance in that game against Belgium. But where the progress was made was, if you look in the rearview mirror, like if we're the, they were the 18th best country in the world at soccer, I think the gap between us and 8 is still pretty significant. But I think now the gap between us and 40, 50, 60, 70 is also pretty significant. And so we're moving in the right direction, but there's still a pretty huge gap between us and being like a legitimate contender.
Right now, we're talking to Danny Parkins of Fox Sports 1. You can catch him on First Things First. Danny, I realized a lot of similarities between the NBA as I was watching the World Cup. There's a lot of flopping that upsets people. We have replay like we do in the NBA. There was an officiating controversy that ultimately got overturned. And I'm seeing one of their stars get cooked the way that James Harden would get cooked. There's a lot of similarities. Christian Pulisic, for the last 48 hours, he has been absolutely getting barbecued in the media and on social media.
He has been, and the media and social media is one thing, but it's been like Carly Lloyd, Landon Donovan. You know, that's not you or me or Stephen A. or Nick or someone like that, Bomani having a take. Like, that's like, you know, some of the best American soccer players ever, like the people that would be invited to the parties that he would be invited to, the traffic in the same circles that have worn the same crest across their chest. So I think with Pulisic, that criticism from those people who matter clearly was not because of one game against Belgium. It is a totality of things, whether it's the aloofness, whether it's not being terribly media friendly, whether it is the consistent nagging injuries. And I know the report came out now that there's a micro fracture and he would be out weeks and he would have missed the quarterfinal game. I will take them at their word that it's true, but it also is pretty convenient damage control and spin when he himself right after the game said it was a sprained ankle. Like, so this is new information. Like, if they would have said he broke his leg during the broadcast, I don't think the criticism would have been as high. He himself said that it was a sprained ankle, and I think that led to a lot of the frustration when Landon Donovan said they would have literally needed to amputate his leg for him to come off of the field. But he also, in GQ ahead of this tournament, said it's just another tournament, and he kind of approached it nonchalantly. When Mauricio Pochettino asked for his participation in the Gold Cup tournament leading up to it, he said no, that he wanted to rest after his season with Milan to be in the best form possible for the World Cup. He got a ton of criticism of that from former U.S. players and the current U.S. infrastructure, including his coach. So I don't think this criticism is because of one injury and one bad game and one bad tournament. I think it's clearly been building for a number of years with Pulisic, and where he goes from here, you know, by the next World Cup, he'll be 31. And we know Messi is 38, but we can't hold him to the standard of one of the greatest, if not the greatest of all time, to keep dominating. Like, it's very, very likely that Christian Pulisic's Team USA peak is behind him by the time the next World Cup comes around.
Danny, you'll appreciate this story. My sister got into the Royals run because of Alex Gordon. You know, she's into the Chiefs run because of Patrick Mahomes. I've never seen my sister sit and watch soccer more intensely than she did watching Norway a couple of days ago because of Erling Haaland. She was oohing and aahing and gawking over him. She wanted to watch his YouTube highlights afterward to see other goals that he met. I've never seen her act like this before.
Okay, I mean, listen, it's one thing, you know, your little sister has an athlete crush. I understand. That's one thing. How about I'm watching that game, the Norway-Brazil game. Steph, my beautiful bride, the mother of my two children, she's been kind of watching, but not really. You know, she's on Instagram. She's doing her thing. She sometimes goes upstairs when I'm watching the game. She's not a huge sports fan like that. When he scored that goal, the second one, and he turned and didn't even celebrate, and he just lifted up his shirt, and his teammate jumped onto his back, and he didn't even flinch, my wife made sounds that I've never heard her make. That's a disturbing thought. I was like, oof, okay, I'm sorry. He is everything that I am not, and I can leave the room here for a minute. She was smitten with that Viking hero. It was not great for me and my confidence.
Danny, we got to start rooting for England then. I mean, I don't want to root for England because I like Erling Haaland. We got to start rooting for England now.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, listen, obviously Harry Kane is, like, rich and famous and really talented, but I can at least, like, she's not oohing and aahing when Harry Kane's picture comes on TV. Like, he kind of looks like me. You know what I mean? Like Erling Haaland is a different sort of figure. And so, yeah, I've actually, you know, she can do whatever she wants, but I've banned Norway viewing on her TV for sure.
I think you're making the right decision. I got to ask you one NBA question before I get you out of here. How much LeBron have you guys been doing? I feel like that's the soap opera that's taking over the league. There's only four realistic options to me. It's either going back home to Cleveland or Miami. It's joining the 76ers or teaming up with Steph in Golden State. At this point, I would be surprised if he went somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, I would too. The odds makers would too. Shams's reporting suggests that there's three favorites, and he didn't even include Golden State in that list now that they're not going to get Anthony Davis. So, like, I agree with you. We're doing a ton of LeBron, but we're doing a ton of LeBron for totally justified reasons. His agent hosted a podcast with a whiteboard where he wrote 10 teams on it and invited the debate and discussion about LeBron's fit in all of those 10 teams. And so while I think he is going to Cleveland, and I personally want him to go to Cleveland, no one really cares what I think or want. What I would say is when Rich Paul put up that board, it showed that LeBron is willing to play for the minimum. Like, if he's considering Denver and Boston and San Antonio and Minnesota, like, we do have to be at least open to the possibility of anything. And, like, if LeBron really just wants a fifth ring, he should go to the Spurs. But if the fifth ring is the biggest priority, he should go to the Spurs. I think he's going to go east. I think he's going to go to Cleveland. I think most of the tea leaves are pointing in that direction. But if he wants just one more ring, and Wemby's going to be a figure for the next 15 years, 20 years in the NBA, and he can reference back, well, you know, LeBron taught me how to win, and LeBron helped me get my first, that'll make LeBron's name ring out 20 years from now. So I'm with you with that list that you mentioned, but the Rich Paul podcast makes me at least think anything's possible.
Danny, man, it's great talking to you, man. Enjoy the rest of the World Cup.
Yeah, man. See ya.
Absolutely. That's my guy, Danny Parkins. Got a chance to catch up with him earlier today. Wanted to play that for you. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison and Rob Brenton.
You losers is what you are.
On your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back into the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you on this wonderful Thursday. I will be off tomorrow. Rob will hold you down tomorrow. I believe Binkley will be here tomorrow as well. Rob, have you had a chance to go down to FanFest? I only bring that up because it is ending this weekend. So if you want your opportunity to go down there, see the heart, take your pictures, do all of those things. You got one more opportunity to do all of those things. Do you plan on going down there?
It's a good weekend of concerts down there, too, on top of the soccer.
I think Sheryl Crow's going to be down there one of these days.
I think,
right?
Sheryl Crow's tomorrow, and then All American Rejects and Tech N9ne finish it on Saturday, is my belief.
They got Tech N9ne like that Popeyes worker. He doing everything out there. It's like his fourth time performing out there.
I mean,
there.
He made a Kansas City FIFA song. Like, they clearly approached him to be like, we want you to be the Kansas City music ambassador.
He's got like Red Kingdom, but like Soccer Kingdom.
Correct. He's got one like that. I don't know what the name of it is, but yeah, so that's why he's working like that. But All American Rejects is, this may stun you. I was a huge fan when I was younger.
Can you play a song by them? Because I know I've heard of them, but like, is there a song that you're like, oh, you for sure have heard this song?
That's a good question.
Because I know I've heard of the group before, but there's not a song that just pops to my mind.
Dirty Little Secret would be the answer, probably. I'm looking up a clean version for the radio.
Oh, that I'll keep you.
Yeah.
That's by All American Rejects?
That's them,
oh, I did
yeah.
not know that. That's a good 2000s teen movie staple song.
Recession rock, apparently, is what the kids are going to call it.
Oh, absolutely. Is there anything else they have other than that? Are they a one-hit wonder? They can't be a one-hit wonder.
No, they got other stuff. They got, like, Move Along. Like, you know this one.
I've heard this before.
Yeah.
So, yeah, is this the song you were just singing?
Yeah. This is the
okay,
one.
Yeah, I've heard
so,
them
yeah.
before.
They do Give Him Hell. They do Move Along.
It gives you. Okay,
yeah,
I've heard of them
yeah,
before.
Yeah.
Like I said, I knew I'd heard of them. I just didn't. I couldn't have pinpointed a song like, oh, yeah, that's by the All American Rejects.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know that.
I don't think that concert's designed for you to love it, but I don't think if you were out there, you'd dislike it, if that makes sense.
I can see it being a good time out there, especially because everybody's going to be vibing and rocking.
And it's the final night, and it's after the Argentina match. So it'll be
oh, that's a Saturday
vibes.
Night one.
Big vibes.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sure it'll be a great time out there for those that are going down there.
And Sheryl Crow's tomorrow.
Gonna soak up the sun. It'll be a lot of sun.
I don't know. I know another Sheryl Crow song other than that one.
I don't know. Didn't they say it was gonna rain today?
Rain this morning.
Oh, it did? Oh.
Yeah.
I never saw any rain.
It was
cool. It definitely was cool. I went and got my walk, and it was relatively cool.
It was rain this morning, like 5, 6 a.m.
Okay.
It looks
beautiful outside right now. I know there's a concert coming up later today. Luke Bryan.
Oh, is that today? Oh, that's out at Morton, right?
Yeah.
Have you been to Morton yet?
No, I'm going to go to that Akon show, though.
Oh, yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, I'll be at that one. That's the first show that I'm like, oh, I actually want to see that one.
But yeah, all these other ones, I don't think I'm in the intended audience for these shows. I don't know who Luke Bryan is.
Yeah, Luke Bryan's not for you.
Remember, we were debating on who Luke Bryan and Luke Combs is. Like, I don't know the difference of either one of them. I don't know what they look like.
We had this bit. Luke Bryan.
What I'm saying,
the
I don't know.
Shake It For Me song that used to be on Game Day.
Oh, that country girl, Shake It For Me. Yeah, that's Luke Bryan?
That's Luke Bryan, yeah.
Oh, that's got to be the last song. I thought you were playing the song. I was like, I heard some music. I was like, oh, let me hear it again.
No, they're not playing that one.
Who sings that Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy song?
That's Big and Rich.
Oh, okay. That used to be the song, right?
Yeah, that used to be the song.
That used to be the song. All right. Oh, that's a wild song when you really think about it. Like, oh, okay, all right. All right, well, I am out of here. I'll be back on Monday. I'll have stories to tell you. Go Conor McGregor. That's who I'm rooting for. Hopefully that's who you're rooting for. Should I be rooting against Conor? Is Max Holloway? Like, I don't know much about him. I'm rooting for Conor. I want to see Conor win.
Conor will improve your vibes, though, in Vegas. That's what you got to cheer for.
I want to see him win. I don't, just please don't get beat up. You know, I don't want to, I got to sit there and just watch you get beat up. I don't want that. Please, no. I don't need that in my day. All right, I'll catch you guys. Take care of yourself. It's The Drive.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.